Welcome to a special grand final winning edition of Panthers Weekly. We're back. Panthers Weekly, fortnightly, yearly, post-grand final wins, whatever you want to call it. We're as new and fresh as that brand spanking new West Tigers logo that Justin Pascoe probably paid $1 squillion in consultancy fees for. That's right. The boys, Panthers Weekly, Straubs and Teach, we're back. And it's basically the only thing that could have brought us out of hibernation because we are lazy old dudes. But it's not every year you win a grand final. It probably will be moving forward because this is the start of a fucking dynasty. But Teach, we've done it. We're grand final winners.
We are the champions. Everyone else are losers. It still hasn't fully sunk in. I keep thinking we are the 2021 premiers and I'm waiting for my merchandise to arrive. I ordered a lot of merchandise. Thank you, government, for your handouts, which helped pay for all these things, which I have purchased. But mate, I went to the news agency.
Be more Penrith, bro.
I know, right? So, thanks, government, just lining up and getting me, getting the gear, getting the good stuff, you know, the jerseys.
Your taxes pay for my footy shirt.
Pretty much, mate. So, you know, Western Sydney represent. But, got the newspapers there from that day, or from the next day, I should say, from the Monday and the Tuesday, but not the Wednesday. But, no, mate, we conquered Everest, as they said, the boys said. We conquered Everest. We've got the premiership. And the best thing is, as you said, it's the start of a dynasty. Now, knock on wood, because we've said this before. Back in 03, 04, people are like, yep, this is a long term. Back in 90, 91, you know, people, this is long term. But third time's a charm. Was a charm for Coach Ivan Cleary in his third grand final. Well, third time's a charm for our dynasty, and we're going to keep the good times running for a long time.
Oh, God, I hope so.
So do I.
As you said, it has not fully sunk in. It's sort of all week I've kind of just been like, yep. Oh, holy shit, we won the grand final. Like, we're the premiers. Like, I don't have to make excuses about how close we were. I don't have to say, look, but for a couple of injuries or but for a bit of bad luck or misfortune or silly mistakes. Like, I have pretty much tipped us to win the comp every year for the last 20 years. And it's just so nice to be right, eventually. And it's as I said to you just before we started recording, my sister is a Parramatta fan, so obviously we beat Para. She became a very vocal Melbourne Storm fan for a week. And obviously we beat them. And then all week, go the Bunnies. Would love to see them do it for Benji. Always had a soft spot for the Bunnies. So apart from her being the kiss of death on just about every team in the finals, I just keep saying to her, I highly recommend you give it a go. Like, winning a grand final is great. It's such a nice feeling. It lifts a weight off your shoulders. Things just are a little bit easier. Things are a little bit smoother and you know, the days are a little longer. The sun, we've got daylight savings. Yep. So the days are a little longer, but they feel a little brighter, a little fresher. Everything just feels so much nicer when you are the premiers. Best team in the competition.
I like the way we did it. I like how we did it. I like the fact that halfway through the year, Sportsbet paid out on Panthers winning the comp, and then the next week we lost to the Tigers, and everyone's like, oh, kiss of death by Sportsbet. And then, you know, I like how the final series, the way it went, it added more to it. Like, I still remember after Origin 2, and it was just the start of lockdown, and I was at Holden because my car was getting serviced, and I got the message from the news that Nathan Cleary could potentially be out for the year. And I remember it was raining. It started to rain. So it was just like one of those cinematic moments where, you know, everything's down. So you're down on your luck. Nothing's going your way type of thing, you know. And I was just sitting there in this little pergola sort of thing they've got holding in Penrith. And I'm thinking, crap, there's our season. You know, like, yeah, we'll make the eight because of how many games we won. But we won't win it again, you know. Have to wait another year to have a shot. And then obviously, as the news came out over the next few weeks, he's not going to have surgery. We're going to test it. We're going to get him come back. And we still started winning games. We weren't confidently winning games. You know, we beat a very busted up Warriors. We just beat the Broncos. We did well against the Chooks. But yeah, we, you know, we weren't playing good football. And then even in the play, up to the finals, we weren't playing good football. And people are like, oh, they're a bit off. And I'm thinking, yeah, you know, Yoey's still coming back from his massive head knock that he copped. Cleary was coming back. Romy was still playing injured. Kikau. You know, the boys were coming back from injuries. And Fisher Harris
so
missed him.
So many questions.
You know, and then we lost to Souths. And I'm like, ugh. And it was frustrating because we kept stuffing it up. Souths, and I said it to a few people, Souths didn't win the game. We lost it. We were our own worst enemy that game. You know, I don't know how many times we dropped the ball in the red zone, but we just couldn't get our smooth attack going. And then the Parramatta game. And you and I were just talking about before, and the nerves. I could not lose to Parramatta. First of all, I didn't want to go into straight sets, but to lose to Parramatta would have been the absolute worst feeling, and that would have ruined the off-season for me.
100%.
You know, and once again, our attack wasn't good, but our defense was great. And yeah, the trainer did the wrong thing, but they're acting as if they would have scored anyway. And based on the fact that they had 1,000 sets and they still didn't cross the line, I don't know where they're getting, the Parramatta fans getting this, you know, idea that they would have scored from. Because if they can't do it for 79 minutes, you know, that and 30 seconds, I don't think that one extra tackle would make a world of difference for them. Because that's all it would have been, is one extra tackle. So they're just crying for any reason. Oh, you guys cheated because we definitely would have scored because we didn't the other times. Like, they scored off a lucky bounce.
Yeah. Grasping at straws, that's how they mate. Grasping at straws.
It's, and then obviously,
it was a soft out for them. It was a soft out to be able to hold on to something, whereas they could not penetrate that Penrith line. I'm sorry. No. They were not making it through.
They didn't even come close. You know, as I said, the kick with the bounce, you know, Dylan kind of went for it and pulled out. It just bounced perfectly for Wonga Blake. Like, outside of that, that's the closest they came to scoring. And it was a fluky try, let's be honest here. So that's tiresome. And then the Melbourne game. You know, once again, our defensive effort was just unbelievable. And that full time, man, I was so loud. I fist pumped. I ran around. I ran to my neighbor's house, knocked on his door, broke COVID rules, gave him a hug. You know, we're both fully vaccinated, so we're okay.
Put yourself in a little bit of trouble there, but okay.
Nah. You know, it's he's a family member, and he was going through an emotional time, so I was there to comfort him.
Compassionate. Leave, yep.
Compassionate. Yep. So that's from story, and I'm sticking to it. And, mate, the week, grand final week, could I not have a worse week when it comes to nerves?
Oh, yeah.
It transitioned from sheer excitement on a Saturday night to literally couldn't eat, going to throw up, oh my God, I'm going to throw up, sort of moment. All the way through. I went for a run on Sunday because I just had to do something. I was just sitting there watching the Q Cup games. I'm like, nah, I got to get out of the house. I got to do something. But oh, the nerves, my man. Yeah.
Look, I didn't even watch the Q Cup games. I did everything I could to stay busy all day. I was doing things around the house. I was out and about. I normally, because we live in an apartment, we take the dog out to do his nasty business. Normally, if I do the morning, my wife will do the afternoon walk. I was like, no, I got it. It's all good. I'm happy to get out, go for a walk. And going around the oval at my place, I was wearing a Panthers top, and I had a little playlist on Spotify, which is sort of like a game day playlist, which I think everybody has something like that these days. And then Hell's Bells came on as I was sort of wandering around the oval, and I honestly felt like I could run through a brick wall at that point. Like, I was just so hyped and so fired up, ready to go. And that was at about sort of 4 o'clock-ish. So it was like, all right, it's time to start pumping up a little bit, get into that vibe. But by the end of the night, like, I should have been exhausted, but I wasn't. Like, what a feeling to do it and finally get over the line.
Oh, dude, I just remember literally on the edge of my seat and then sitting back, and I normally get up and get a bottle of water and I just drink that, you know, excuse to get up, and wife's like, why don't you just bring the bottle of water with you and just put it next to you? So I filled up a big bottle. Man, I did about 7 nervous wheeze the entire game. I got up, like, just it felt like a little old man just hoping something would come out, sort of stuff, because I just had to do something. I couldn't just sit there, you know? And then when full time, when Yoey, and it's fitting too that Yoey took the last hit up, I just dropped to my knees watching the video and I just started crying. So, I had tears of joy.
Yeah, it was a big emotional release. I was the same. Didn't cry straight away. Fielded a couple of phone calls. Did a nice little FaceTime with my mate Mitchy, who was a very gracious South Sydney fan and congratulated me. And then a FaceTime with my parents. Obviously, it's been like 3.5 months since we've seen each other, and they sort of were just seeing how I was, and I was fine. I was like, yep, so happy. And then I just put Go the Mighty Panthers on like a loop and just kept watching, the highlights and the wind down and everybody talking about the game. And then it just, I went live while I was singing one of the songs on Facebook. Just, I don't know why. I was just like, oh, I want to share this with a few people. And the tears just came. I couldn't help it. I was bawling my eyes out like a little baby. I could not help it, I was, it was such an emotional release. And like, I know you always said, it's just footy and it's not life or death, but gee, as a lifelong fan of a rugby league club, you put a lot into that. And to me, like, I'm not from Western Sydney, but I moved to Western Sydney. I moved to Penrith. I come to this area because I love it. And I love the people. I love the vibe. I think it's a great area. I think it's incredibly underrated. And I just, I'm, you know, obviously I haven't experienced all the other clubs, but I've never seen a club that better represents where it's from and the people that follow it. And I think, it's so easy to feel part of it, even just a small bit,
Well, this is the great thing about the Panthers in all three premierships. I'm too young to remember 91 in any great detail, but I remember 03 quite clearly. And there were players that were born in Penrith. There were players that came across to Penrith as young men, like Nathan Cleary. He's a Penrith boy now. He spent half his life in Penrith. He came across in 2012 with his old man, and he's went to a local high school. He went to St. Dom's, so it's a local high school. He lives in the area, so he's now, while not born here, he's a Penrith boy. Isaiah Yeo, same sort of thing. He's from out west, and he came here as a young man, and he lives here, and his family's here, and his partner's here in Northern. What was it like? Gus put out a tweet, and I think he got one wrong in the sense, but something like 13 of the 17 players were Penrith juniors from the starting 17. And you've got the likes of Dylan Edwards, who was a Penrith junior. Bizza, Mount Druitt boy. Critters, Mount Druitt boy. Romy,
Yeah,
Spencer,
the scenes in the drill.
Oh, mate.
Oh.
Well, because I live in the Blacktown LGA, we had police choppers flying overhead and everything. So, I'm like, yeah, they're definitely at Luau's parents' house. But
Oh, yeah.
the fact that they're part of the community, they grew up in the community, you have that affiliation with them. We went to school with these guys. We went to uni with them. We know their mum or their brother or their cousin because they're all local. It's Penrith is a large population, but a small community still. And
100%.
you got that 7 degrees of separation to someone in the Panthers. Like, and you and I have had the pleasure of getting to know the boys over the years. We interviewed Joey, we interviewed Fish. I've known Nave since he was about 14. So, we have those connections there. But even your regular fan still knows them in some capacity. So,
That's it. Well, all the boys, pretty much, I think pretty much everyone lives in the area. You see them around, you go to the shops, you see them. They're very accessible guys. And as I said to my wife, I first saw guys like Jerome Luai, Tyrone May, when they were 14 years old, playing local junior footy, which is something that Daz and I used to do a little bit back in the day, was go to a lot of junior footy that had the mats and ball boys and that. And, these were 14, 15, 16-year-old kids that you've watched grow into grand final winning NRL players, which is just,
Well,
it's really mind-blowing.
I played gridiron with Critter's older brother, Joe. And talk about a talented family. So, because you have Joe, who's the older one. There's another one whose name I don't know. I've met him a few times. But then you've got obviously Christian, who played for the Panthers. Great young man too, very humble, very respectful. And then you've got young Stephen. And I remember during lockdown last year, Stephen was actually at Ropes Crossing Oval, practicing with a family member or friend or something like that. You know, this is before the bubble sort of stuff. But yeah, he was just down the fields, and Hayden saw him, and we gave him a wave. I'm like, "Is that Stephen?" I'm like, "Oh, it is too. Hey, what are you doing out here?" He goes, "Oh, you know, just keeping myself fresh, sort of stuff." So, you know, they aren't afraid of being in the community. They aren't afraid of just doing what they do. You know, you see pictures of the FTA boys, and they're out there playing touch footy, playing Oz tag with the, you know, kids from Tregear, Wilmont, you know, different parts of the Druid, you know, and all that. And it's great to see. And that's what's so special about this club. And there's not many clubs, I think, that have this. The Roosters, I can't see having this. You know, Souths do. I'll give credit to Souths. Like, you know, you had Reynolds, you know, born and raised in Redfern across from the fields and that. So Souths do. But like the Roosters and even the Storm, they don't have that community connection. Like, yeah, Storm players are popular because they kept winning, but they're not from the area. A lot of them are from Queensland and all that. So it's a different sort of feel. So.
Yeah, look, I think it's really easy to get caught up in our thing and not, you know, it's our experience, not, you know, we're not experiencing what others do, but you don't see that. Like, yep, there are local juniors in pretty much every club, as you said, possibly apart from the Roosters. Well, Kingswood Roosters now, isn't it? So
Yeah,
they've got their local
we've got
club smack
calls
bang
in
in the
here.
middle of the riff, but but it is one of those things. Like, you've got that. And to me, it was really representative because, as I said, I'm someone that has come to Penrith and made a home here, and, you know, having a family here and going to raise a child here. And aside from the local juniors that have come all the way through, you've got those guys, there's some journeyman guys that have come to Penrith looking for that opportunity. And like guys like Scott Sorensen, who was just so big through the final series to come back from a pretty damaging wrist injury. To be one of the best players on the park, I think I read he had an average distance of 100.5 meters per minute during his 31 minutes on the field, and was like made nearly 100 meters running and 20 something tackles, and, you know, busted his ass, and he's become a bit of a fan favorite, I think, guys like Sorensen and
Oh,
Paul Momirovski and.
Sorensen is definitely a popular player now. Not only is he such a good-looking dude,
Oh,
you know, he's
gorgeous.
definitely a good-looking dude and hell of a rig too. Like, we used to speak about sauce about this, then mate, Sorrow's the new sauce when it comes to the rig of the team. Let's be honest
It's
here.
a mighty fine rig. I
It
will
is,
agree with you there.
but he's so humble, and the fact that, as you said, you know, he came back from a broken wrist. Like, his season was done, man,
Yeah.
and
And
yet.
what, missed a week?
Yeah, a couple of weeks later, he's putting up
Bam.
the laying up the boosters and laying up the boosters,
Fading
lacing
up
up
the
the
boosts.
boots, lacing up the boots, and just absolutely smashing. He was huge. He's you talk about a redemption story. He is
Oh, yeah.
such a good player, and I'm so glad we signed him and re-signed him. And that's very much, you know, who reminds me of young Scott Sattler.
Yeah,
You
consider.
know, a player who just did his work, no grandeur about it. But when the time came, he stepped up and made a big play, and for that was against Melbourne with the Jerome Hughes tackle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, and it's a very Sattler-esque type tackle too. You know, the cover tackle. Yeah, he didn't take him out, but he stopped what could have been potentially a certain try if not for Sorrow and even Fish to his credit chase him down too. But you know, one of those players who just does the work. And we used to say it about Yowie. I remember you and I would talk about Yowie for hours on end, saying he's, you know, unheralded. He's just a workhorse. He doesn't get the special credentials and the mentions. And now he is. But Sorrow reminds me of that too. And he's cheap. You
Yeah.
know, he's those cheap workhorses that you need to fill the blanks when you've got your Clearys and you've got your Romeys and your big, you know, big money players. You need the cheaper players to step up, and he's one of them. And that's
100%.
what I love about him the most, you know.
Honestly,
So.
I'm going to say a name, and I think you're going to back me in here. John Cross vibes.
Oh, Crossy. I love John Cross. He used to make 1,000 tackles a game. What a
Oh,
lock.
yeah. He was
So.
one of my favorite players growing up, because I have always, as many will know from the Adrian Purtell years, I've always gravitated to some interesting favorite players, and big Johnny was one of mine. Look, game in particular, talk us through your initial moments, kick off, how were you feeling? Things were going all right from the start.
Yeah, as I said before, I was extremely nervous during the day. But when kickoff came in, I kind of just came chilled and calm. And that first hit up, you know, that first set of six actually is what made me calm. I'm like, all right, our forwards are on now. You know, we're making good meters. And then, you know, they didn't make many meters. And I'm like, yeah, no, this is good. And then, you know, we scored that try. Beautiful work. And I'm like, make sure there's no block. Make sure it's fine. Make sure it's fine. Make sure it's fine. And then you see the green light try confirm. You're like, oh, thank God. But then that bloody soft try, that was soft.
Yeah.
But
you can tell, you can tell Cleary had the shoulder problem.
Just brushed off so easily. His inside man bounced up too far, and then Cleary made a poor attempt, and then Dylan was just grasping at air. So that frustrated me. That annoyed me because it was soft. It wasn't a hard work try. And it came from a stupid penalty before too. So, but then, you know, second half, we came back and we got that second try. But it was so frustrating because, once again, we're in their red zone. And South, to their credit, defended their asses off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many times we almost got there, but what won us the game, again, as it had all season, effectively, was our defense.
Yeah.
To concede, we conceded less on average just under 12 points a game all season. And what did we concede on grand final day? 12 points. I'm like, if we can keep them to 12 or under, we'll win the game.
I think our for and against for the finals was +2. Like through the whole final series, I think we ended up being +2 points.
Ooh. Well, let's have a look.
We lost by 6, 1 by 2, 1 by 4, and then 1 by 2.
Yeah. And we conceded in total, 22, 28, 30, 40 points. Yeah, we conceded on average 10 points a game. We didn't score many, but to concede only 10 points a game in the finals is very impressive.
Yeah, and it is that old adage, the grand finals are won on defense, you know?
Well, Melbourne Storm scored 1,000 points throughout the year, kept them to 6.
Mm-hmm. That was a big one.
So,
look, even going back to that game, like, Melbourne was so far from their best, but we just looked so solid in defense, and it was nerve-wracking. I'm not going to say I felt like we were, you know, never going to lose it. But the boys were just so desperate. And you mentioned Scott Sorensen, his effort to run down Hughes. Apart from all the Sattler parallels, it was just such... It was one of those moments where it honestly was like, we got this. Like, you know, you don't lose games with effort like that. So, and we saw it in the grand final as well. Like, the Cody Walker try was really the only thing I can remember, the only set I can remember where we looked pretty average in defense. I think apart from that, we got up there. We were really quick off the mark in defense. I think we really got up there. And I think probably for both sides, the 10 meters was a little bit shallow. But you play to those conditions and both sides had the same 10 for me. I think the game was fairly evenly officiated throughout.
I think the referee was pretty good overall. Like, Penrith lost the 6 again count. They lost the penalty count, going from memory.
I think so, yeah.
But, you know, and the commentary was interesting. Like, the Spencer Lanoue tackle, that was legit. That's just a fair, solid tackle. It's not 6 again. You know, he didn't play at it. He's just making a tackle. And I agree with Gus in the sense that if that was a normal tackle, and it would be 6 again in a way, if they... But you know what? Ignore that, because it wouldn't. Because he wasn't playing at the ball.
It's never been the case. Yes, I think there's probably been some ones where if a hand has sort of knocked a ball, particularly close to the line, I feel like they don't mind giving 6 again for that. If a hand sort of...
I hate that rule.
Yeah, but I think...
I hate it. Like, if I'm going in to make a tackle, and intentional or not, and if it hits my hand, then I'm actually making a tackle, shouldn't it be 6 again?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's so hard to judge intent, and sometimes they do go with the attacking side. But overall, I mean, there was no way in the world Lemieux was playing at the ball. Like, he was so clearly going in for that tackle. And I don't understand
people
what
anyone
about
was that head-high tackle. It's like, that wasn't a head-high. Like, it wasn't even a falling head-high. Like, you see that in a game. And credit to South, they weren't complaining for a head high. Like, he was actually legitimately injured. The Burton one, when the player got his ankle twisted under kick out, like, he wasn't staying down because he was taken high, because he knew it wasn't a penalty. That's why he was trying to get up. He was just literally injured from his knee or ankle being twisted or something along those lines. But I'm loving now is the salt from fans from other clubs.
100%. And look, on that, of all the salt that I've seen, I have not seen a lot from South Sydney fans. I've seen a lot of people with no connection to either club piping up about the thing that I, the big one that happens all the time now is Nathan Cleary is a protected species. Everyone looks after Nathan Cleary. He's the new Cam Smith. They love him. First off, bullshit. He got put on report for dumping a bloke on his back, so don't give me that shit.
Yeah, wasn't that
Don't even give me that shit. And second of all, most Souths fans, like I actually commented on the Souths on one of their Instagram posts. I was like, hey, credit to you guys. This is classy. Like they put up a post congratulating us, and I was like, you know, classy stuff, guys. You guys, tough game, great game. You know, worthy grand final performance from both sides. Just stoked that we got the win, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen one or two Souths fans a little bit filthy here and there, but, you know, I think they're more filthy about kick-ass singing Glory, Glory than anything else. But,
I've seen more salt from Tigers fans, to be honest. The Panthers-Tigers rivalry is well and truly alive.
it's funny, like, Tigers fans are like, oh, why do you care about us? You know, we're shit and all that. Why do you focus so much? And it's like, well, you know, we got to pick someone. And if you're running your mouth, then we will pay attention to you. Like, you know, a mosquito is not annoying until it comes on you.
Exactly.
And then you swat it away.
And dead.
You are the mosquito, West Tigers fans. Yeah. Like, you are fine when you're out there and don't bother me. But as soon as you come near me, you're annoying me. I'm going to have a go at you.
100%, so, especially with the Ivan this and that, like the Cleary, there were legitimate Tigers fans talking about being preferring that they kept Brooks over Cleary. So let's not pretend that you guys aren't salty as fuck.
Oh yeah, I've got the receipts. So I love that one.
It's not Tigers Weekly, but fuck them, you know.
You know, I don't like the way they're celebrating. I'm like, are you serious? If the way the boys are carrying on is your biggest gripe in life, then you have a pretty good life, man. Like, you got players who are being done up on drug charges. You got players who have, you know, done a lot of illegal things in the past 6 to 12 months.
The Tigers employ Russell Packer.
Well, Ivan did sign
true,
it.
True, so. But Ivan didn't make every decision at that club.
No, he was
the little midget-headed fella.
But the fact that, oh my God, the fact that they're upset over the boys singing songs and taking photos and, you know, having a few beers, I'm like, wow. Like, I'm glad. I love the social. Like, okay, I think there's maybe a little bit too much social media sometimes, but I love this stuff. I love seeing the boys put their hair down and just seeing Fisher Harris in his jersey,
like 3 days
just
later,
sitting there, seeing Moses Leota.
Moses
Leota falling asleep on the stool was brilliant.
He was
footage,
done, wasn't he? That's a guy that just had nothing left.
Nah, he was rooted. But what I love is, for years, we used to be one of the most liked clubs by opposition fans. Why? Because we were harmless. No one cares about the Panthers. Oh, they try their best. They're out from Western Sydney. Good on them. They got a win. Now, yep, they hate us. And you know why they hate us? Because we're good.
That's it.
And we're keeping
everyone hates
good.
The Roosters.
You know, people are
everyone
like, I don't like Jerome Luai. I don't like Jerome. Yeah, but they're like, I don't like Luai. He's cocking us on the field. You speak to any reporter and they will say the Panthers squad are the most respectful, polite squad members. Matty Johns cannot rave about Jerome Luai enough. Him and Bizza when they came on the Matty Johns show.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's cocky on the field. He has every right to be cocky on the field. He's won a premiership. He's played for his state. He's represented his country. You need to have swagger. You need to think. Do people not like Michael Jordan because he was cocky on the court? You need to have swagger. If you don't think you're better than the opposition player, what are you doing out
and
on the field?
On that note, can we talk about 2013, Nathan Cleary and Jerome Luai were the halves pairing for the Panthers Harold Matz competition. So in 8 years, they've gone from pairing in that under-16s competition together to winning a premiership, to playing, you know, a stack of first-grade games, to winning a State of Origin Shield together as a halves pairing. Why wouldn't you fucking back yourself?
It's funny how it all works out. I remember when Matt Burton came in and everyone's like, we should drop Luai for Burton. And I was like, nah. Burto is a gun player, but he's too much like Cleary. It won't work. And the funny thing is, we never saw it. In the two seasons, we never saw Burton and Cleary on the field together.
True.
In the 6 and 7. Yeah, like we saw Romy and Burto. We saw Team A and Birdo, we saw Team A and Romy, we saw Romy and Cleary and all that, but we never saw Birdo and Cleary. So that's a bit of a disappointment. But, all right, we've lost a couple of players this year. Who are we going to miss the most, do you think?
Look, it's to me, it's between Birdo and Capewell. Unsurprisingly, we've done well to keep the majority of our squad together. And I think if you saw there was a thing in the Telegraph the other day about how Penrith don't pay bonuses, like representative bonuses and things like that. So salary cap management, there's no real surprises for us. So we've managed to keep a lot of the guys together. Look, it's not hard to see someone like Matt Burton going on to have a wonderful career. And I think, you know, years from now, when he's doing great things, there'll be a lot of people that remind us that he could have been at Penrith. But I don't hate it.
Do you reckon it's going to work for him at the Dogs?
No. No. I think he'll leave the Dogs and go somewhere competitive, however, you know, 3-4 years down the line.
I think it's... I think he's got a bit of remorse there signing. And I don't blame him for signing it back into time, because when he signed, you know, he was playing in the halves and he was never going to play first grade in the halves behind Cleary and Romy. So, you know, but we made him the centre that he... Well, we didn't make him the centre, but we put him in a position he just made it his own. But I don't know if... Like, the Dogs have signed well. You know, they've got Addo Carr and they've got a couple of good forwards and all that. But I can't see Birdo's game going to the next level at the Bulldogs. No. I think it's somewhat of a career
suicide.
Look, I know
Trent Barrett did a lot of work with our halves, but I think there's a lot of question marks on him as a first grade coach. And they still don't have the pack like Penrith does. We win so many games through the middle of the ruck. Their halves are not going to get the time and space that ours do.
Hey, we saw it. We saw it against the Sharks and the Tigers when we were missing a few of our players. Mm. And how we struggled to score points. And to Birdo's credit, he was the one who stood up and actually scored a couple of nice individual tries. But even then, you know, like, that was against a Shark squad, which, let's be honest, isn't much chop. And now forwards were finally getting the ascendancy, except for, you know, a couple of moments of lapses of ability, I guess. Mm. But, Birdo, for me, I think he definitely regrets it now. So,
oh, you'd have to. And as you said, I think... He thought, I'm a half, I'm not going to play first grade footy in the halves at Penrith, so away I go. And the Dogs tried the whole let him go and Arthur Laundy and everything, you know, let him come to us now. And
to his credit, he did come out and say, I got that wrong.
Yeah, he did, 100%, and I won't bag him on it. I know, like, we would have done the same thing, I imagine, if we had a gun player coming in next year that was sitting over there doing nothing. But as things turned out, he played a lot of first grade footy. The Dogs get a more polished and more experienced player for it. So,
well,
you know,
they've got a premiership winning player, don't they?
Yeah. So
you're welcome, Dogs.
I don't know. Nathan Cleary is a Clive Churchill medalist. Did you think that was the right call?
It was a game where there was no massive standout player. You know, normally you see a grand final and you go, like, Fifita for the Sharks win. He should have got it. He didn't, but he should have. Mm-hmm. You know, George Burgess should have got it for the Souths, but he didn't, you know. But for this one, yeah, I'm going to say if Penrith didn't win, it would have gone to Walker. Yeah. But I'm glad they gave it to Cleary instead of Walker. Like, we don't need a repeat of 1991. You know, when a Panthers win it and still don't get it, I think, which is just stupid. But it was his kicking game. You know, everyone's spoken about it, but his kicking game was on point. You know, his defense was solid other than that one tackle on Walker. But, he set up some nice plays. He did a couple of half-line breaks and all that, and he was taking it on himself. But he wasn't 100%. You can see he wasn't 100%. We know he wasn't 100%. We've known it for 6 months he wasn't 100%, or 4 months. But that kicking game was just on point. But, you know, saying that kick is only as good as its chase. But the way he was just hanging it out there, you know, a metre or two from the try line, so it's not being a seven-tackle set, incredible.
Oh, it's stunning, the accuracy and the consistency with his both short and long kicking game. Like, normally you see a half is really, really good at one or the other, and is generally okay at whatever the other thing is. So, like, Cooper Cronk had just an amazing short kicking game, and his long kicking game was okay. But Nathan Cleary just has the whole bag of tricks. He's got those huge floaty bombs that just sort of every now and then they absolutely skew off in wild directions. And we saw it coming into the finals where he was drilling grubbers at the posts and little bending banana kicks back, and like he's got the ball on a string. He
spends a lot of time working on his kicks, and he's got so many. And you see Andrew Johnson out just talk about it, and they, you know, they break down the types of kicks he has. But I don't know. I think Yoey could have got it. You know, he is once again a player who is absolutely so important to our team. So if him or Yoey, Cleary or Yoey got it, they're probably my top two. So
yeah, look, it was either those two or probably Brian To'o for me, just for his workload. But let's be honest, unless they go out and score a hat-trick, you cannot give Clive Churchill to a winger.
Nah, God, no.
Just, I know he's more than the average winger, and he's got the running meters of a...
238 meters. Fairly incredible.
You know, he's amazing at what he does at getting those... And I think there were sets quite consistently where the first three or four tackles were all taken by our outside backs, but we were still making 30, 40, 50 metres in those three, four tackles.
But that's what...
Which makes such a difference. Such a difference.
It reminds me of... reminds me of the Melbourne Storm back in when you had GI and Slater and Folau.
Yeah.
You know, you had your three players, back players, and even Brisbane with Lota Takiri and Big Dell. Like, they put you on the front foot.
Big time.
Yeah. And that's where... And I guess we're transitioning to the next phase, is that's where I was really let down this year with Charlie Staines.
Yeah, it was disappointing, his season overall.
You know, like, yeah, he scored a few tries. He was our leading try scorer for a while there, but he wasn't... We don't have a team structure set for Charlie. You know, he's a talented footballer. I'm not taking that away from him in the slightest, but we haven't got the set plays for him to be productive like we do for To'o and Critters. And that's what disappointed me this year, is his carries coming out of the red zone just weren't enough, and they weren't strong enough. And that's mainly because he's too small. He's just physically not big enough yet. And he's young still, and he'll hopefully grow into it. But for me, moving Critters back to the wing was probably the best thing that Cleary could have done in the playoffs or in the final series.
Yeah.
So
it's a great move. As you said, look, it's not the end of Charlie Staines. It's not the be all and end all. excuse me, and he'll fill out his frame a little bit and hopefully keep a lot of that pace, because he does have a lot of the raw materials to be a very good player. But look, I think with the back three of Critter, To'o and Dylan Edwards, who, look, shout out, Dylan cops probably more criticism than just about any player except for Tyro May on social media.
Yeah, but that's for different reasons.
Yeah, well, Tyrone gets a lot of on-field stick as well, I think.
Yeah, he does.
And I'm not going to touch
the
other
stuff. Yeah, Dylan Oates is very underrated.
And you see it every year. He cops all this bag in it. And occasionally he does have a little bit of a howler in there. The Parramatta bounce try to Wonga sort of... It wasn't all on him, but it looked bad.
He should have at least attempted to go
for it. Yeah, like if you're going to not get it right, don't get it wrong so badly that it looks that bad. But I think coming away from that back three was so impressive, and the way that sort of shapes up, I think that's really exciting, because we've got some boys there that aren't...
Well, I can't see... I don't think, with Matt Burton going, Crichton should go back to number four, because that was the original plan, was to have the three boys on the left side of Romy, Critters and Bizza.
What a musically talented side of the field.
Well, that's what they have to do, is just serenade their opposition, and the opposition will be like, oh yeah, cool, go score a try, you do you. You know, just a bit of voice to men or something. But that was the original plan to start the year going, from memory, but injuries and whatnot had to change things around, and Birdo got a home there and just settled. But I would like to see young Taylor May get some more games next year.
Yep.
I'd like to see how he goes.
Just on Taylor before we move on, I would like to see him possibly not... anti-vax views on social media.
Maybe your government choices keep them personal or private. We don't need to hear about your views on government mandates and all of that, especially for a sport which is going to bring in a mandate most likely. So maybe just, you're young, you'll learn, but put the phone down sometimes, champ.
There's a couple of young boys in that side that could just think, hey, do I need to hit post on this?
Yeah, you don't need to share every thought you have in your head. Let's put it that way. But him and Tago, I'm really looking forward to seeing Tago next year.
Looks like a real superstar in the making.
He'll go on the bench, I think, for Capewell.
Yep.
And with Kurt going, obviously, you'll have Liam Martin starting in the second row, so you need another bench player there. And for me, that's definitely going to be young Tago.
Yeah, look, I think so. And we've still got some depth players there as well. I'm interested to see how Sunia Taruva goes, sort of coming through as well, young fullback. Who has a lot of raps on, and it's very hard to sort of look towards a lot of these guys given that we didn't have a reserve grade competition for most of this year for fairly obvious reasons. But I think we're very well served once again with a lot of young fellas coming through and a good mix. You know, we've got guys like Scotty Sorensen and Matt Eisenhuth that have come in and fill out those depth positions really well overall. And, you know, I'm excited to see how guys like, as you said, Tago and Taylor May are probably the two. Interested to see, you know, we've got some depth in Kurt Falls as well, so I feel like we're not bereft of talent.
Yeah, see, that's going to be interesting come Origin, because you know Cleary's going to be playing State of Origin
and
again.
Luai, you would imagine.
Possibly. You've got Walker, so Romy will be on the... See how he goes, I think.
I mean, surely
he kind of dropped off a little bit.
Surely you're picking the Premiership-winning, State of Origin-winning halves partnership together.
You go on form, but hopefully they don't. I'd much prefer they don't take both players again, because those two games were the worst.
Oh, they sucked. And it had to be the Tigers and the Sharks. Apart from Parramatta, two of my most hated fucking teams.
What a bloody games. Like, normally, back in the day, I used to look at the Origin draw and go, oh, sweet, we're playing Brisbane or we're playing Melbourne. And you think, yes, all right, hopefully we might have a shot of getting 2 points. Now I'm
and
like,
we'd still
ah,
lose,
shit.
But we'd feel good going in.
Yeah,
yeah, we can beat this That's baby it. Broncos team. They put 30 on us.
Yeah, neck minute.
It's all been
but,
there.
Nah, dude, but look, we're not the Tigers.
But even...
but no,
I think you've got Kurt Falls. You've got Jamin Salmon, who I believe signed another one-year deal as well. So there's some depth in the halves there. And it'll be interesting to see who else is coming through. Because, you know, as I said, without any more junior rep footy, I don't really know much more about some of the young guys coming through.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, I feel sorry for like young Blacker and all that. You know, we got him from the Dragons and he played one or two games and he played all right. From what I saw in the games, but you know, he got injured, I think, and then they went into lockdown, and yeah, so I think a lot of teams are going to be behind the eight ball next year in regards to the New South Wales Cup, and that's where Queensland will have an advantage because they've still got their Q Cup. But just quickly, speaking of other competitions, special mention to Benny Garcia.
Oi.
Good old Frenchie. He's in the grand final this, I think it's tonight or tomorrow night in the Super League grand
alongside
final.
Another former Panther as well.
Yes, young Jimmy Maloney, yeah, young James, so playing his last ever game. So good luck to those guys. I hope they get up. It'll be nice for Jimmy to win another grand final. And
does that make
Benny Garcia?
Does that make Penrith the only club he didn't win a premiership with?
Nah, Warriors.
Yeah, true.
Warriors,
he made a grand final with them, though, didn't he?
So
yeah, true.
But did he
true.
Win it? But did you die?
I feel like we're the black mark on James's career. But God, he done a lot with our young boys. So, like, there's a tiny little bit of Nathan Cleary and Jerome Luai's ring that belongs to James Maloney.
I caught it. Another thing I caught, I like to call things early and just wait. I played a patient long game. Yeah, like a mate of mine who I go to the footy with, Michael, he's like, we'll never win a premiership under Cleary. And when we won the grand final, I caught him up and I'm like, remember, remember when you said, remember how you said we're never going to win a premiership? Eh? Do you remember that? And he's like, I'm so glad to be wrong. I'm like, yeah, but remember you said that?
Yeah.
Do you?
Look,
and then on Facebook, his wife put a post up and I'm like, hey, remember what your husband said?
Look, I'm pretty sure, I don't want to say I'm a spiteful person, but I'm pretty sure one of my first tweets after winning the grand final was, how's that for a bunch of hillbillies, Russell Crowe?
You see his tweet saying, the only media I've done this week is about this. And I'm like, yeah, this week, I'm pretty sure you would have said something in the past, dude. So the way he worded his response tweet was, oh, I've only spoken positive about them this week.
Bitch tweet.
Type of thing.
It was a bitch tweet.
So, but, you know, a bit of revenge after his, whatchamacallit, post, the score post that he did. He hasn't posted since, I don't
think. What a
shame. Haven't seen any.
Although I watched
since.
Him in Unhinged not long ago, and I don't want to mess with the guy because he was fucking demented.
He's retweeted something. Jimmy Carr.
Funny guy.
Oh, the actor prepares. There you go. retweeted something of him putting out a cigarette butt. Okay.
Which
yep, that,
metaphorically
that's awesome. Thanks,
Rusty. Represented South Sydney's season being you know, bludgeoned out as the Panthers, I just want to say it again, became the 2021 Premiers.
All right. Who is the player of the year for you? Who's the one player? Actually, no, let's go three players. Three of the key players for the Panthers. And you can't say Nathan Cleary because that's obviously
just about
a given.
To say Nathan Cleary. Isaiah Yeo, James Fisher-Harris, and Jerome Luai.
Yeah. You definitely got two of them.
It was a toss up between Romy or Bizza, to be honest, but
yeah, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say someone who is so important to our campaign is Liam Martin.
Tough footy player.
I just like him. I think he's very important to our defensive structure and our go forward. You know, his attitude and defense of just follow me, I'm gonna go smash this guy. And I'm going to smash this guy, and then you can tackle that guy, and I'll smash the next guy after that.
His ability to get under a high ball.
Yeah. And I think it was the game, against the Sharks during Origin period, which really showed me his attitude, because he was playing Origin too, but he backed up and played for the Panthers. And he came on the field off the bench, and it was happening right in front of me, and he's just like, "Let's go, come on!" And he's really firing at the boys, and he's leading from the, you know, from the front. And And the week before, Fisher-Harris against the Tigers, I think he played like 78 minutes or something against the Tigers. He didn't sit down when he came on the bench for that 2 minutes because, you know, he was captain that game. And you talk about a captain's knock. Like, even though we didn't get the W,
he busted his ass.
He would have gone to bed a very sore and tired man.
He's the best prop in the game. Nobody has that impact consistently.
Down.
Some of the Burgess fella at Souths, you know, Jared Weir-Hargreaves has been a great prop for a long time. They have impact. But not the consistent impact that James Fisher-Harris has for mine.
Yeah. And the passing game too. Like, he's developed a nice 100%. Little passing game.
And look,
I love watching
the rest
play,
of the
man.
League is
he's
catching
so
up to how good Isaiah Yeo is, but he's still underrated. He does
100%, dude. Like, he is the link man. He is so important to our attack and defense. You know, like, what is it? 19 runs for 168 meters in the grand final. Scrolling across, trying to find tackles off the top of my head, I don't know. But that game, the Foxtel was showing all the highlights of the different games, and that game against Brisbane, we was knocked out in the first 3 minutes, and we struggled because we missed him. 36 tackles he made because we missed him in that middle. You know, we're already missing Cleary and a couple of other boys, but he is just so important. And you know, as you said, we've been saying it for years. How good Yoey is, how underrated he is. But yeah, he's still, if he's not the Australian, like, I don't think they're actually doing the Australian tour, but if he's not the Australian number 13,
yeah,
something's wrong. Like, Cameron Murray's a good player, man, and you've got to have Cameron Murray in the squad 100%. But Yoey, for me, I'd put him in right now.
He's far and away, you know, one of the best lock forwards in the game. And it's crazy to think, like, he's played 7 years of first grade, he's still only 26. He's just got such experience. I think he was part of the NYC team that won in 2013, which is, you know, just feels like a lifetime ago.
Well, we interviewed him in this show quite a long time ago.
Back when we had the sort of the pool.
So, you know. Well, you know, back when we had time to go in to the
good
academy.
Old days.
You know, like, but it's been an absolute fantastic season. To lose 6 games in 2 years is truly
and at least
incredible.
Two of those basically because of Origin. Like,
yeah.
let's be honest, yeah. We don't lose those 2 games.
And then the third, well, the three regular season games we lost this year, we didn't have Cleary, and I don't think we had Yoey
or Romy for at least two of them.
Yeah, Yoey as well. Yoey played in.
Yeah,
so,
massive.
Yeah. So, because I think Romy played against Melbourne. And then the South Sydney game was our first... South Sydney game was the only loss that Yoey experienced and Cleary experienced this year for the Panthers, who played, you know, X amount of games.
And, like,
Insane. Well, I don't think Nath didn't play in Origin 3, so he's only Nathan's only lost one game all year.
Yeah, he did.
Did Yori play in Origin 3? He did, didn't he? Yeah. So Nathan Cleary's lost one game all year.
I also think you think to guys guys like Spencer Lemieux, who sort of debuted at the back end of 2019. He's played, 30, 40 first grade games and has probably only lost 3, 4, 5 times. He's going to be a very special player.
He's so good.
For a long, long time.
He doesn't get many... People don't rate him, you know? But I think... And also, I think people also agree that he's underused a lot. Like, he only got 13 minutes in the grand final, but he's has so much impact when he comes
he's
in.
He's not going to be an underutilized player for his whole career.
I think he needs to learn, though. He needs to learn just to chill and conserve his energy a bit. But if he knows that's he's it. Only going to get
when you're using him like
game,
you are at the moment, it's basically
he might as well
go
balls
on
to the wall. So it'll be interesting to see how he's used next year, being that we've lost.
Sorry, yeah, basically, yeah. Go out there, give just me 10,
nuts.
15 minutes, just ballistic.
Yeah, you put him on, you just go.
Basically,
nuts.
Like a mini Liam Martin. Liam Martin does it for 60, 70, 80 minutes. Spencer Lemieux has those little bursts. Look, I do want to shout out as well. It was a kind of weird one, but I thought one of the best players against Melbourne, particularly he didn't have a massive game, but the first 10, 15 minutes when it was really aggressive, Tevita Pangai Jr. For a guy that sort of, for a guy that only came in for 5 minutes and is departing, unfortunately, he's played a role in getting the Panthers to where we are this year. I thought he was the one that really took the aggression to Melbourne. He got up in the face of Welch and,
he made it personal against, was it Welch or something?
I love to see that because, I didn't want to see the boys
that was good.
Overwhelmed or not up for a fight. And he really took it back to the Storm in that game. And obviously couldn't play in the grand final due to injury. And it was a sad way to finish that little cameo. But I obviously wish him well moving forward. But, he'll always be fondly remembered here, I think.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was a very interesting one, Like, he was going to be signed, and then he wasn't, and then he was out of nowhere. And then, obviously, the tragic circumstances with his child obviously put a bit of a spanner in the works there. But, he made his presence known. He joined the Panthers very late into the year. He made, some nice little plays. That try, I think it was against the Tigers, when he just did it himself in the first half, just barreled over a couple of Tigers players. And, that game against Melbourne was his grand final. And to his credit, though, what I think really tipped me over the edge of how much of a good bloke he is in the end was at the start of the grand final week, and he said, "Nah, I'm not playing. Don't play these games. Just let Spencer know he's playing in the grand final." And full credit to him, because he's going to the Dogs, so
he's
never
come
playing
from
in the
Brisbane,
grand final.
Like modern day Brisbane, who suck.
Yeah, so he's, this was his one chance to play in the grand final. And to his credit, he said, "Nah, give it to Spence. He's earned it. He deserves it." So
big time.
That was really
and look,
full credit
it was
to
the
him
only there. Way we were going to see a Broncos player play out in that historic Suncorp grand final or final series based in Queensland because they weren't going to do shit. So, sorry. I still, even though they're really crap now, I still have like 90s hangover hatred for the Broncos. Just for how good they've been for my entire life, basically. So I really enjoy seeing them struggle. But I think when I looked at the numbers, I think the last 2 years, his combined winning percentage at the Broncos was like 21% or something. And he came in and played 6 games for Penrith, won 5. Maybe they got him a ring. Hopefully they got him a ring. Fuck it. Hopefully they got everyone a ring. I think you get it.
Does that happen?
I'm pretty sure you get
the club would buy more rings.
X amount for the players in the grand final and the staff or whatever. And I think you can buy more. So, because Souths were all like, "We're going to buy a Luttrell one," because $5,000 a pop, not a cheap ring. But if we need a GoFundMe to get TPJ one, I'll happily chuck in a few bucks.
I think I've spent enough money on Panthers merch. They can use that.
I've got to give the club credit. I said to my wife on the Friday, it was the Saturday. I said, "I haven't bought a jersey this year." And she goes, "Is this your way of saying you would like to buy a jersey?" And I said, "Look, we're obviously got a baby coming, so I'm trying not to spend money, but I'm gonna buy a Penrith jumper right now. And I bought the pink jersey. Just love pink jerseys. On the Saturday, and it was here, ready for pickup, done on the Tuesday. So no grand final hangover for the staff. Like, they've nailed it. So full credit there, and it's a beautiful jumper. Love it. Fits perfectly, and just looks great. It's a really nice pink jersey this year.
Yeah, nice, man. Yeah, Ange became a member this year, season ticket holder, my wife. So the conversion's complete. She's got a pink jersey she got at the start of the year. She was actually sitting on a couch with me most games in the past couple of weeks, and she's
Great
really
to
getting
see.
into it.
Bringing that's what the Panthers do. They bring
So
families
it's
together.
mate, it's taken me how many years to, you know, from someone who hated football and the only place she knew was
Fucking
Mendocino.
who?
That
Ah, I was gonna
was,
say,
yeah,
fucking
Minicello, but
who?
she goes, I know a player, Mendocino? And I'm like, what? Mendocino? So that was Minicello, because her younger brother's a Roosters fan. But now she's a season ticket holder. She likes going to the games. She's watching on TV now, which spins me out, you know? So she wore a Panthers jersey the next day. Like, she'd wear a Panthers jersey both
It's a
days,
nice
actually.
feeling,
But,
isn't it? Dude,
yeah,
when I
conversion,
met my
man.
wife, she
Finally
followed
got
two
there.
teams, Melbourne and Cronulla. So, yeah.
Oh,
So
God.
obviously, I had a lot of work to do, but she's as happy as anyone over the Panthers as well. So, it is nice. I've got to say, I know he will listen to this podcast as well, and I don't want to forget Nick from Corrective Services New South Wales. Literally a week and a half ago, my boss texted me and went, "You're effing Straubs? Question mark." I mean, what do you mean? He goes, "I've seen someone call you Straubs on
Nice.
Facebook. Did you used to do a podcast?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Oh, I listened to a few of those episodes back in the day. Like, you had Phil Gould on and this and that." And I'm like, "Yeah, man, that was us." So, shout out.
Well, I don't know his name, similar story, but different. Macca from work. It's Dave Macca's mate, Dave McKinnon's mate. All right, so I don't know his name, and we're at the footy. I'm talking to Dave, and he goes, "Oh yeah, see you later, mate." And Macca comes to school next day. He goes, "Oi, one of my mates used to listen to your show every week." And I'm like, "Oh, cool." He goes, "Yeah, man, you loved it." I'm like, "Ha, what a loser!"
Yeah, a
Nah, jokes. That's awesome.
full judgment for listening to this fucking podcast.
Yeah,
Harvey
100%.
Norman, and he's just
Remember
like,
Kevin?
"Are you
Remember
guys
when
the
we were at
guys from the
Harvey Norman
podcast?"
and my man Kev? Yeah, you and I were talking. Yeah, we were just talking crap as we normally do before the show. And he's like, "Hey, you guys sound familiar. You guys Jordan T. Hey,
There you go.
he's still there. He's still
He
working at
hooked me
Harvey
up with
Norman.
a
He's
bit
still
of a
kicking goals.
discount. I think
So
it
he's
was
a
an
good man,
iPad.
Kev.
Did I buy an iPad?
So
Perfect.
yeah, he always looks after me. So I always go to Harvey Norman and say good day, and he always looks after me. He's a good man.
Bringing
So
people together
hashtag Panther
across
family.
the Western Sydney and greater Australian community, I would say. That's what the Panthers do. We all bond over this beautiful club.
Well, I think we've gone for almost an hour. I'm still hungover. I've got this raging headache right now.
You're too
Afternoon
old for that,
drinks.
man.
Drinking in the afternoon is not something I recommend. So, yeah, I know, right? So, end of the day, boys and girls, 2021 premiers. Lock it in. We've done it. We've got the trophy. Been there, won that, got the trophy. I believe the club on Monday, Freedom Day, Panthers is actually going to have the trophy there. Might be broken. Might not be broken. Don't know. Don't care.
And look, for anyone whinging about
It's
us
look at
breaking the
us, we earn the
trophy, we don't
trophy
give a
now.
fuck. We do what we want. We're the Panthers. We're the Premiers.
No. Did you
Yeah.
even celebrate unless you break a trophy? Like, it doesn't count. Like, Laurie
Tom
Daly, what,
Brady
in
and
89 or 90, he
Rob
jumped off the back
Gronkowski.
of his
Tom
truck,
Brady and
so.
Rob
The
Gronkowski
trophy's
threw the
only worth
fucking Lombardi
30,000.
trophy into the river at Tampa Bay. Like, shit happens. Who cares? We're the Panthers. We do what we want.
That's awesome. So, let him enjoy it. That's
Yeah,
mate,
you
what
don't
are you
want
going to do?
this.
Come to the riff? Find
You
us?
don't
Let's
want
go.
this. You know where
Back his
Panthers
car
is. Mal
park, you
got a
and
road,
me. Let's
motherfuckers.
do it.
Let's go.
So,
Oh, have you
hey,
had Five Guys yet?
Five Guys car park. It's chockers.
Yeah,
Nah,
we
I
did the
went to go
same
the other
thing. We
week
went
and
and
they were
got
oh,
KFC.
the
I was
other day
like,
and the lineup was
"Fuck,
too long." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm not
that's
lining up for
massive
burgers."
line.
So, I went to you know where the old Hayden
Ah,
Cinema is?
yes,
Probably
I
not.
know that.
The UFC gym. There's a little bakery just behind it. and they have chicken schnitzel roll with gravy for $6.50, and it's a big schnitty. Oh, goes down well.
That's
during
the way it
lockdown,
goes.
When I've
Buy
had
on
to
the
go into
UFC
Penrith for
gym
random
or check it
things,
out.
That's where I stop off
And
for
look,
lunch. It's
people
good.
do not care about this, but I used to really
Yeah,
like
dude.
Rolling Schnitzel, the food truck that would crop up along Mulgar Road. It was really good, a little bit expensive, but
Never
huge
been.
big
Never
snitties, and you'd
been.
get like two snitties packed onto a roll. So like, they went hard, but I had one once that was just a little bit undercooked and it was
Yeah,
pinkish,
nice.
and it's just turned me off forever. I can't go back there. It's chicken. I don't mess with chicken. Don't mess with chicken, you know.
Yeah,
I've
no,
had
that's
food poisoning
understandable.
once in my life from chicken, and I can't do it
Pork.
again.
Pork and chicken.
No, but
Did I
this is
tell
the
you my
perfect
story
time to
about
do
food
it.
poisoning while we're here? Listeners, you can tune out, I don't care. Well, why not? So I had
Okay,
tickets to see
boomer.
Green Day, right? And I came home from soccer and all kebabs in the fridge. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm like, ooh, kebabs, yum. So I scoffed them down. Mate, food poisoning for about a week. Couldn't get to the concert. I'm like, even the day of the concert, I'm like, if I can last half an hour without going to the bathroom, I'll go to the concert. That couldn't do it. My sister cooked chicken kebabs. She felt she didn't cook them long enough, so rather than cooking them longer or throwing them out, she put them in the fridge.
Why
So
is that the
therefore, my
decision that
sister
you would
poisoned me.
make, Ben's sister? At what point do you think, I'm just going to put these uncooked or undercooked
Like,
fucking kebabs in a fridge?
who undercooks chicken in a fridge? Yeah, and no sign saying
Eat at your own
user,
fucking
buyer
risk.
beware, this is undercooked or anything like that. Like, no, it's just. Pretty much, I'm like, oh, sweet. Coming home from soccer, I'm tired, I'm hungry. How
Nah,
good's this?
that's
Yum, yum,
poor.
yum. Yeah, nah. So, since then, similar
Oh
with
yeah.
you, I make
I
sure if I'm
look,
cooking chicken, man, I'm
again,
cooking it
people
proper.
don't care. People have
So,
probably stopped.
any.
KFC Lithgow gave me food poisoning in like 2010, and I probably only started re-eating KFC in like 2017, 2018. It took so long, and it was the worst 2, 3 days of my life. Like, food poisoning is not a fucking joke, man.
Oh, God, no. So I remember, and pork. Pork, I always make sure I cook properly. When Ange fell pregnant with my oldest, I
Smart,
stopped buying
smart.
pork because I didn't want to poison her. So, because you gotta make sure it's cooked properly. Red meat, I don't care. Okay? I undercook a bit of red meat. Sounds like, oh, it looks a bit
It
pink. You'll
should
be
be a
fine,
little
mate. It's
bit
red
pink.
meat. You can eat red meat raw. Who
Nah,
cares?
I'm with you.
But you don't eat chicken and pork raw.
Oh, you're a heathen.
So I like it. I like my steak medium well. So
I'm medium rare,
I like medium well. With a bit of
and
steak sauce.
I'd go a little
Yum,
bit
yum.
hard on the steak. I've got very specific. I've got a little rub mix that I've made myself out of a few different things, and I'm very particular about how I cook my steaks. I don't like to hear that anyone's butchering steaks by overcooking them.
So what did I do? Now, I bought some steak from the butchers in the plaza, right? And I'm like, how do you cook it in the oven? Mate. Oh my God. So it's just a bit of oil, salt and pepper. You put it on a frying pan, you brown it, then you throw it in the oven for, 20 minutes at
This is
210 or
offensive.
whatever it is, depending on your size of your steak. Oh my
Putting a
gosh, so
steak in a
delicious.
fucking oven is offensive, and I will not hit.
So good.
I will not stand
So
for it. No, I can't.
just
I would
try it, mate.
rather
So just
stab
try
myself in
it.
the eye with a
No, but
ballpoint
you
pen
can. It's so
than
good.
try that.
So you cook it on the frying pan
It
first.
sounds that's a
Then
lot
you
of
throw
extra
it in the
steps when
oven.
I've got a barbecue right
Oh,
there.
so good. So, yeah, but mate, that's so basic. Be
I'm going to
a
be a man that
chef.
eats a proper
Don't be a
steak,
cook. Be a
medium
chef.
rare. So,
Yeah, nah, probably in that case,
no,
don't
it's not
cook it at
like
all.
that.
What's the point? Just get the cow. Just bring the cow in. Put it in front of you, and just when you're
Well,
hungry,
side
just
note,
and
like,
you'll be like,
obviously,
moo, can you
people can
not?
tell we
And you're like,
haven't
no, I'm hungry,
spoken
bro.
for a while. I have one meat-free day a week now. Because I would like to be able to be a vegan or a vegetarian, I just can't. Not for food-based reasons, for moral reasons, because I really love cows. Cows are like one of my favorite animals. But they're also so delicious. Like, they're so nice. And meat-free mince and meat-free meat or substitute is just so bad. So bad. Don't do it.
What is it? The Hungry Jack's burger? I
The
tried it.
chicken one?
No, the meat-free one, the plant-based one.
Oh, the one that they
Yeah.
advertise in the NBL 500
It
times a day.
was, you could taste it different. It's like Coke and Coke Zero. It'll be like, oh, you can't taste the difference. Yes, you can.
You always
Yeah.
taste the
Oh, you can taste the
difference.
difference. The same sort of thing. Like, oh, you can't. Yes, yeah, you can taste it. You can taste the difference. So.
Yeah, I won't cop that shit. You were right. That, like, this is like, I'm not a Coke man, but I'm Pepsi Max, Pepsi. Huge difference.
Yeah, but oh well, they don't advertise that. They advertise that as differently. Yeah, it's full color taste with no sugar. So,
Yeah, I actually prefer Pepsi Max, but
I
that's just me.
prefer. I like Pepsi more than Coke, but I like Macca's Coke with the syrupy flavor to it.
Straight out of the machine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, if I go to the pub, because I don't drink, obviously, if I go to the pub, I'm like, yeah, give me a glass of Coke, not a can.
Yeah, the syrupy, it's nicer.
It is, I think, because it's mostly just syrup, sugar, but how great is that? We should probably wrap up.
Yeah, no, let's call it.
We've
So,
had 10
all right,
minutes of
boys and
talking about
girls,
food.
that's it. Thank you very much for listening this year for the, I think, 5 or 6 shows we did. We were planning on doing a whole season, but then Thursday Night Footy came around. We had about 20 Thursday Night Footy games, so that kind of put a spanner in the works. But no, thank you very much, guys, for the journey this year. I'm glad you guys got the premiership that we all deserve.
In the
And
words of Greg Alexander, this is for the people of Penrith.
and in the words of Nathan Cleary, woo! So, so,
In the
boys and
words
girls,
of
look after yourself.
Moses Leota sitting on a bar stool.
I want to go to bed. So, all right, look after yourself, boys and girls, and go to Panthers.
Woohoo!